Chapter 2. Loretta James is wearing a vintage-looking kimono that probably costs more than Layla's rent. She's paired the robe with black combat boots, her signature, and a shirt that reads, "If Girls Could Kill." She moves like an old-school film reel, hypnotic, nostalgic, and a little bit on the nose. As I walk in, she takes the pen she's been chewing out of her mouth and sticks it in her tightly wound bun. Her hair is electric red, the color of ketchup. Unpoetic, I know, but the perfect descriptor. I can see it's graying at the roots, despite the money she most likely spends trying to hide her age, which, coincidentally, I couldn't find online no matter what keywords I searched. Her office is pristine and minimalist, like a Rothko come to life. A giant framed vinyl cover from the late 80s hangs on the wall behind her desk. She's got several big plants scattered around the room, but they're all slowly withering in size and color. I wonder the last time they were watered, presumably the day her assistant walked out and never came back. There's a single photograph sitting on her desk. It's a still from her wedding, a close-up shot of her and her wife staring into each other's eyes. As I take a seat across from her, she looks at me with that same intensity. She wrestles her jaw open to reveal a wide, inviting smile. I clear my throat. "Miss James, first off, I'd just like to say I'm such a huge fan." I begin, choosing my words carefully so I don't come off as too much of a kiss-ass. "I've been reading vinyl since I was a girl, and it's truly changed my life in more ways than one. I used to hide a copy underneath my pillow every night when I went to bed, then read it in the dark after lights out. In fact, I have you to blame for my poor eyesight." I pause for effect, and Loretta lets out a small laugh. She keeps staring at me like a friendly alligator. My mouth feels dry. "Anyway, I admire all of your philanthropic efforts so much. The bra burning you initiated across campuses in the early 90s? Brilliant. That spread of queer celebrities at home that documented them following their everyday routines, making coffee, feeding their cats? Truly iconic. And that recent article you published online about artist royalties and streaming rights was just..." "Enough about me," she says, scanning my body up and down. I suddenly feel self-conscious and, TBH, a little bit chilly. Why didn't I wear a bra today? "We're here to talk about you." With that, I launch into my whole spiel. I tell her I'm a first-generation Iranian-American who was born and raised in Crown Heights, but that I now live in Chinatown on my older sister's couch. I recall writing news clippings when I was a young girl and sending my favorite authors fan mail, Judy Blume, Meg Cabot. I go on to talk about attending NYU and further exploring the city I'm so in love with, so inspired by. I don't mention that living at home had a little something to do with it. I wouldn't want her to think I'm desperate for anything, including money. I recount how hard I had worked as a journalism major, all the internships I completed at publishing houses, the freelancing I did for mediocre magazines like Iron Home and The American Family. When I arrive at the present, I reluctantly explain I've been tutoring English. Loretta glances down to her phone, and I feel my throat seize. I've totally lost her. I knew my resume would leave much to be desired, but I was banking on allowing my passion for writing and vinyl to shine through and fill in the gaps. Instead, Loretta swallows a yawn. As I wrap up my TED Talk, I notice her smile beginning to waver. She's looking past my head and off into the distance. For a split second, she feels like just your average human, someone I'd spot on the subway and assign an entire narrative to. Perhaps her son had just gone off to college on the West Coast, or her husband had cheated on her with his secretary. Her eyes are so expressive, a translucent, murky gray. She has the look of someone who lost something or someone vital, a woman missing a piece of herself. I'm not sure I'm the person who can give her what she needs, but I so desperately want to be. "Look, I love your enthusiasm, kid." She quickly glances down at my resume. I assume she's double-checking my name.